The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Here's the deal as we get ready to see what the Hawks are going to do tonight. We're also going to talk more about the Dogs. It's kind of cool from the standpoint, Mike, they do get the rest that they need. But, you know, they've got some things they've got to figure out. We're going to talk about how they strategize against two very different teams in Indiana and Notre Dame. That's who they will face, by the way, the winner, all right, of that game. And it's easy to sit here, obviously, and say, you know, Indiana. Mike, I don't know if they surprise some people or not. Now, listen, Ohio State, and I think Notre Dame will probably have this advantage as well. When you saw Ohio State and the physicality, right, play out over the course of that game, Ohio State just kind of dominated Indiana all the way up until, you know, the end of that game. It started out good, but I don't know. I think Notre Dame's defense is hard to move the ball on, and I think that's going to be a challenge not just for Indiana. I think it's going to be a challenge for the Dogs, specifically if it's not Carson Beck at quarterback. But that's how they're going to have to look at this. And by the way, there's going to be a game plan for Indiana, and there'll be because they run two different systems, and there'll be a game plan for Notre Dame. But you've got to wait and see how this game's going to play out before you really start to focus in.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to get a gauge of just what they are because Washington, as we mentioned, was rebuilding. Bill Belichick's son, Stephen, gave up 31 points against those guys from Indiana. Beat Michigan State like a drum. Beat Michigan 2015. You mentioned the loss to Ohio State. They beat Purdue 66-0. Beat Nebraska 56-7.
So that was a beatdown. I watched that game. That was a beatdown.
So I guess, and the argument would be if a Notre Dame team could lose to, you know, Northern Illinois, I guess they could lose to a James Madison team because that's basically what Indiana is with all the guys who came with Cignetti from Harrisonburg, VA. But, yeah, I think it would be – it's a great story. Don't get me wrong. I just think that Indiana doesn't deserve to be there. They're going to shut up the critics, just like SMU going to Happy Valley, right? See what you can do.
Can you imagine if SMU wins that game?
No, I can't. I really can't. Especially the way that the Penn State really looked good. I mean, I know they lost, and there's no moral victory, but they look good against Oregon at times.
I'm with you. I think they really look good as well. We will talk more about the Dogs coming up here on the show. We'd love to hear from you as always, and you can interact in the conversation at 404-726-0929 as parts of the radio station continue to fall apart.
Was that the chair, or was that the wall?
No. That was the thing on the floor. Did you hear it?
Yeah, okay. So that's that is the casing for the computers,
yes,
the
that's
PCs.
Correct. Yes.
That are underneath. Okay. Well, again, studio was built 14 years ago.
14 years
anyway, ago. Hi, everybody. It is Dukes and Bell. One thing real quick. We'll talk more about this at 4 with the Dog Report. Our buddy Wes Blankenship put this out on Twitter. There's a photo when Gunnar Stockton was setting the record for touchdown passes at Raven High School, Raven County. Mm-hmm. He's rocking a hell of a stash and long hair. And this Gunnar Stockton literally looks like he could be an extra in Dazed and Confused. Mm. So I'm going to retweet that, and you guys can take a look. But all right. Wooderson. I'd like to see that. Bring that mustache back for the CFP, baby.
Yeah, the whole thing, Mike, and you know where I'm at on this, and this is not to say the kid might not be great. He sat there for 2 years, and he's going to get his opportunity. But I get high school tapes all the time. And guys, look how good he is.
Big difference.
It's high school.
Just like the difference between the college and the pros.
But
he doesn't need to be, Matthew Stafford. He needs to be Cardale Jones.
That's right. He needs
to be the guy that got it done for Ohio State when their quarterback went down.
You're right. You're right about that. All right, guys, more to get to. Let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, guys, are the Eagles going to implode? You guys realize, we said this yesterday, that the Eagles right now, all right, are a team that has really found their stride. Forget about us beating them earlier in the season. They are 11-2. They are vying for the best record in the NFC. Mike, they've won 9 games in a row, and they get the Steelers in the 4 o'clock window this weekend, which I think is going to be a really good game. But, Mike, it just feels like there's some internal strife that could maybe drive this team into the ground.
Well, I heard Mark Schlereth, Stink was on with Andy Randy today, and it was really interesting because he was talking about, Jalen Hurts, maybe he's been cowed into avoiding the turnover. They don't really stretch the field. They don't get vertical.
Nope.
And that takes away what A.J. Brown does best. Now, certainly with Saquon Barkley, there's going to be a commitment to the run, and why not? He's on an MVP caliber season. But you heard the comments. Certainly, we've seen wide receivers go diva. That's kind of in their DNA, where not all, but some. And you heard A.J. Brown say, passing, that's what needs to improve. And then you heard Brandon Graham say, yeah, those guys ain't boys anymore. And man, then he walked that back because that was a controversy. I couldn't imagine a team that imploded after being the number one seed can do it again. I just can't imagine. Sirianni would be so gone, it's not even funny. But somebody needs to get a handle on this thing and have one of these, like, seriously, closed-door meetings where everybody hashes out whatever they need to hash out and keep the Philadelphia media out of this. And by the way, what's ever said in there doesn't get to the media. You feel me?
Yeah, I do.
They got to work it out.
Jalen Hurts, by the way, only has 16 touchdowns. That ain't a lot.
And if you've had him in your fantasy league or whatever, it's not an explosive offense like you would think it would be with the kind of weapons they've got at wide receiver with Devontae Smith and certainly with A.J. Brown.
Now, Joe Burrow doesn't have a winning record or as far as his team. They're not 11-2, but Burrow's got 33 touchdowns. Like the difference, Mike, of talking about stretching the field and throwing it downfield. So we'll see how this all plays out with the Eagles. But are the Eagles better than the Vikings and the Bills? Because that's my next question. If you feel like they'll figure this out, then are they better? Are you willing to say right now they're better than the Vikings, we just saw them, or the Bills?
Well, who's a better coach team? I think you could argue O'Connell with the Vikings is a better head coach than Sirianni. He does delegate. The assistants obviously run the show. But their defense under Flores is high risk, high reward. They do give a lot of plays in the passing game. We had success there. And we had success in the run. We're the few teams who were able to run on Minnesota. But their offense, if you still feel that Sam Darnold is going to turn into a pumpkin at midnight, that would be the thing. But then also Jalen Hurts, in some of the big moments, he's gotten tight. So I think that I'd say it's a push. I'd lean towards Minnesota if they won't get home field advantage because it looks like the Lions will be winning that division.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the question about the coach. And by the way, what happens if the Bills don't get there this year? Sean McDermott, is he done?
Well, that block punt, by the way, I bet on that game. It hurts. But that block punt that cost him that game because that was the mojo on that loss. But losing that game, because you feel that somehow, some way, the Chiefs are still going to lose another one. They haven't. But, man, Buffalo, they had their opportunity to go through Kansas. Kansas City had to come to them. They couldn't get it done. I thought they'd take a step back when they turned over some of their roster. But even with the injuries to wide receiver, Josh Allen is having that MVP year. At some point, you feel the magic is going to run out for Kansas City. But how do you bet against Mahomes, despite how mediocre they've looked at times offensively, right?
Yeah, it's hard to. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. So the team we're playing this week, they've lost 9 in a row, Mike.
Yes. They beat the freaking Ravens at home.
They did. We, which was a shocker earlier in the year, we have lost 4 in a row. Something's got to give, right? Yeah. I mean, the Raiders were on a 9-game losing streak. They are 1-7 on the road, but they're at home this week, which means they're 1-4 at home. Guys, they've won 1 game at home this season, 1 game on the road. That's it.
Their best 2 games, aside from the 2 games they won this year, are against the Chiefs. They just seemed to – that's a divisional rival. Remember last year they beat the Chiefs Christmas week, but they took the Chiefs 27-20. In Vegas, and then at the Chiefs, they lost by 2. Maybe that was another game where the Chiefs got another lucky bounce. But I don't know what to make of it. I mean, if it's not O'Connell, is Desmond Ridder going to, psych himself up, and he's got a chip on his shoulder, Carl?
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know. If you look at their stats, I mean, yeah, they miss Josh Jacobs, certainly. Their leading rusher, 320 yards. So they don't particularly do anything well. And their leading receiver is the best tight end in football right now. That's Brock Bowers with 993 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, I throw it to him.
Who's like, going to shatter the rookie record of Ditka and our Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I'd throw it to him like 80 times if I was them. We are frustrated because here's the difference between their losing streaks and ours, okay? For example, the Bears. All right, Bears are terrible.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They had an awful losing streak as well, but the Bears weren't in first place. Neither were the Raiders, right? When you start looking around the league and you say, well, this team has a four-game losing streak, the Jets have lost four in a row. Jets haven't been in contention all season. That is the fundamental difference between us and these other teams that you're looking at and going, well, you know, we got a losing streak, but these other teams, who cares? The Giants on an eight-game losing streak. Mike, they were never in first place. They weren't winning the NFC East.
Now, what they had was a good pass rush, but that doesn't mean anything if you can't score on the other side. So the other thing with the Raiders is the OC, Scott Turner. I don't know what he's going to try to do. I don't know. Was it Jacoby? But remember the old law firm? Jacoby and Myers. Well, Jacoby Myers is actually not a bad pickup for fantasy owners this week if you feel that our secondary is going to look like a Chinese fire drill again.
I hope not. We got to get some things fixed, man, and get them fixed quickly heading into that Monday night game. Now, here's the thing. The Raiders don't scare me like some of these other teams we've played, specifically last week. You're not going to see a better tandem than Addison and Justin Jefferson probably the rest of the season and with the T.J. Hockenson catching the ball in the middle of the field. But you're right. We got to get that fixed. Meanwhile, Mike, just as we have to talk about this, because now we got to keep an eye, and I didn't think we'd have to. We got to keep an eye out on what's Tampa Bay doing. What are they doing? What is the rest of their schedule look like, and are they winning on Sunday?
Well, they play the Chargers, and after that, their schedule's easier than ours because we still have to go to Washington.
Now, they're on the road at L.A., but Chargers are favored as we speak by 3 points. But that's the other part of this now. It's not as if we can't just ignore what Tampa Bay is doing. We kind of have to keep an eye on what's happening. And that sucks because we didn't have to a few weeks ago. 404-726-0929. The rest of their schedule is Cowboys, Panthers, Saints.
Herbert, Oren just mentioned my ear, is still banged up from that last week's game. So, I don't know. The Bucs, they were in that game. They were going to blow out, by the way, the Raiders until the Raiders got an interception in the end zone, and then that made it tighter. And then later on, the Bucs stepped on the gas. You know, getting Evans back is still huge for that offense.
Mm.
So, I mean, look, we haven't had a passing touchdown in 4 weeks.
Yeah,
that's got to change.
Taylor Heineke's the backup for the Chargers. I forgot about that. We traded him, right? Yeah, that's right. And he hasn't. His services have not. I think he played one game.
Well, Taylor Heineke, we expect you to do your duty if you're pressed into service.
No doubt, man. I mean, like, we now need the Chargers to help us out after they came here and beat us. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Bryant McFadden's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NFL, specifically about the Falcons. What's going on in the locker room? What's happening right now with guys that may or may not be saying anything, Mike, but this is not where they expected to be.
Now, I mean, our guys, you know, when you talk about the offense, are we going to – the Eagles have won 9 games in a row, and they're bellyaching about their offense. We haven't had an offensive touchdown. You don't hear anybody saying anything. I think that's a testament to what's going on there with this team. It's a good vibe, but still, the results speak for themselves. It ain't happening.
B-Mac joins us next. Let's talk some football with our man B-Mac, Bryant McFadden. He's got a terrific podcast called All Things Covered. He works for CBS Sports as an NFL analyst. And B-Mac, I was saying to Mike, what's going on in this Falcon locker room, man, with the four-game losing streak? And you are in first place. You were in command of everything in front of you. And now it feels like you're in a must-win situation. What's going on in that locker room?
I mean, this is where your leaders, you know, stand up and they showcase their ability to lead, because you got to keep the locker room together. This has been a horrible stretch for the Falcons. A lot of things have gone wrong on either side of football field in terms of play, you know, coaching. But there's no reason to point the fingers. Right now you got to get everyone together, get under one accord, and win a ball game, because you still have an opportunity to control your own destiny. You still have an opportunity to do everything that you wanted to do, which is most importantly win the division, because that will warrant a playoff spot. And we know one thing, guys. Only one team from the NFC South will get into the playoffs. And that's the team that wins the division. And all of that will go down the drain, in my opinion, if you lose Monday against the Raiders.
Yeah, man, as we used to joke around with Arthur Smith, we're not scoring enough points. It's kind of a thing. And no offensive touchdowns. And Bryant, talk about it. And I think we all get it. There's a call it politics or call it the team dynamic. When you go with one quarterback who's getting paid big bucks, he's expected to see it through. If you bring in the but we've never had a situation like this where we got a first round draft pick waiting in the wings. So would it completely discombobulate things if Penix comes out and doesn't do well? Could you still go back to Cousins, or then that's just a bigger mess?
That's a great question. I think right now is not the right time to go with Penix. And the reason why I'm saying that, guys, is because Kirk Cousins was good enough to help you become 6-3. Whatever reason, we're starting to see inconsistent play from him, you know, over the last four ball games. But the entire operation has been bad. You can't put all four losses on one guy, right? Especially last week. I mean, Kirk Cousins wasn't playing in the secondary. And you guys remember throughout some of the conversations we've had, you know, getting ready for the season. That was something that we all talked about and partly being concerned with, the lack of experience in the secondary when it comes to corners outside of A.J. Terrell. Well, that really showed up this past Sunday against Minnesota. So I'll say I wouldn't make a change right now, but I can tell you this much, guys. If you lose to the Raiders for whatever reason, right, because the Raiders is they're a bad team. All three levels, three phases, they're a bad team. If you lose to the Raiders, now you got to make something happen. You got to make a change. And I think that would be the opportunity to bring Michael Penix in.
We're talking with Brian McFadden here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game about all things in the National Football League as we count down to the playoffs, guys. We're just a few weeks away. I know it sounds crazy, but we're heading into Week 15, and this is a big week for the Falcons, which is why we're discussing this particular moment and this losing streak that's going on. As far as you say you're not sure why he deserves this opportunity, because that's what Ra has said. Mm-hmm. What are guys saying, though? I mean, like, this is where I'm getting to. You and I both know, B, being in locker rooms and being around them, that everybody is not thinking this. Like, some people might be thinking, you know what, he kind of lost this thing, man. I mean, like, we need to move in another direction, even though they might not be saying it.
Yeah, the thing about the guys in the locker room, they see each player every day. They see each player go through their prep in terms of practices. They see everything that these guys are doing. So maybe the guys in the locker room say, you know what, that is true. Because we see some things from Michael Penix in practices that kind of shows us he's not quite ready yet. Mm-hmm. And then we see some things from Kirk Cousins that makes us to believe he's going to get back to being the quarterback that we saw in the first 2 months of the season. And to Ra's point, he's earned every right. No question, I think he has earned the right because he was a quarterback that was really thriving. You know, you were 6-3 in the first nine games. Mm-hmm. And like I said, not one person is to blame for everything that has happened with the Atlanta Falcons over the last 4 weeks. Defense has been bad. When the defense has been good, the offense has been bad. You know, when you talk about protecting the quarterback, haven't been able to do that, can't keep the football clean, there's a lot of things that have circulated. But this is a must-win. This is the most important game for the Atlanta Falcons because you're playing against a very, very bad team, and you're playing on a national stage. Mm-hmm. So everything that you do will be seen, good or bad. And like I said, if you win this ball game, you still have an opportunity to compete and win your division. But if you lose, your season, I don't want to say it's done. Oh. Mathematically speaking, it's not done, but it kind of is.
Yeah. Well, it certainly will be to a lot of our fan base and certainly to this radio host. Hey, man, it's our man Brian McFadden with us, guys. Check out his podcast, All Things Covered, with his buddy Patrick Peterson here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of corners, we blitzed. We got more aggressive. And the corners kind of handled their business. You know, McConkey had some success, and they shut it down in the second half against the Chargers. Problem was, B, as Carl pointed out, two really good wide receivers, Addison and Jefferson, a good tight end. Our corners look, I don't know how much you got to see of the game on Sunday. They were flopping like salmon out there. We had guys looking like they were on ice skates. Mm. Is that just proof that, you know, sometimes you can blitz and maybe you're just better off playing that zone coverage?
It's proof two things could be true, honestly. And I think the Falcons cornerback-wise, the secondary, they just had a bad game. They had a bad game at the wrong time. And if you're going to have a bad game, you would rather be against an offense like the Chargers where they don't have legit go-getters at the wide receiver position. But the Minnesota Vikings, when you're playing against Jordan Jefferson, Jordan Addison, who was a first rounder, T.J. Hockenson. That's not the wrong. That's not the game you want to have a wrong game with. And it looked bad. It really looked bad. But Atlanta secondary, you have a great opportunity to get right back in the get back on the right foot against the Raiders. The Raiders are not good at all. They don't do anything well. The only thing they do well is throwing to Brock Bowers. That's it. That's it. So you have an opportunity to correct your wrongs. So to your point, when you do blitz, you got to understand you don't have any help. And when you blitz, somebody has to get home to put pressure on the quarterback. But this is a game, man, you got to throw that film out of the building because it was so bad, especially on the defensive side, and just focus all your attention on Monday, because Monday is like a game seven situation. You know, you win, you keep going. You lose, you go home. And that should be the mentality for the entire team getting ready for the Raiders.
Who's the best team in the NFC? Is it the Eagles? Is it the Lions? Or is it the Vikings?
That's a great question. You know what? I'll side with Philly right now. And the reason why, guys, is because Detroit defense, they're dealing with so many injuries. It's almost like every week they lose a guy. But they've been finding a way to get over that hurdle. But I think when you get close to playoff time, when you get into the playoffs, those losses will surface more than anything. But then when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, it's like watching an episode of The Young and the Restless. It's a soap opera. Like, they got drama, but they're a winning team. Like, I don't understand the issue with Philly when things are going good. They just find a way to create some type of negative pub associated with the team. And, of course, I'm talking about, you know, A.J. Brown feeling some type of way with his quarterback and Jalen Hurts, who, from what I've heard, they was close homeboys, and for whatever reason, they're not as close anymore. That's not – you don't want to have that type of stuff surface. But I'll side with Philly because they have the healthier defense. And, of course, you know, when you look at the balance they have on the offensive side, even though they're not throwing the football well, those type of things can travel in terms of playoff ball.
By the way, speaking of the Eagles taking on the Steelers, a grade 2 hamstring strain for Pickens, and obviously he's been loving life since Russell Wilson took over QB. I mean, do the Steelers have the most total package because of their defense as opposed to the Ravens, who don't have defense? The Chiefs, I mean, could the Steelers be there in the AFC Championship?
Oh, no question. No question, Mike Carter. The thing about the Steelers, and I'm not being biased with my take here, but I just want you guys to listen to me. In terms of the total package, being a complete team, right, the offense has really performed in a great way in terms of throwing or running. The offensive line has done a great job. You talked about the defense. Between both teams in the Ravens and the Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers have the best defense. I think that would be the consensus, right? And then in terms of another key element in towards being successful in postseason is special teams. We know Justin Tucker. Heck, he caused me a fantasy opportunity to get into the playoffs. I still feel some type of way with Justin Tucker. If I see him, I might want to fight him because missing field goals got me out of my fantasy league in the playoffs. He's been inconsistent. You know, you look at the injuries to Harrison Buckner for the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of their kicker. Chris Boswell was the best kicker in the league. And you guys know playoff football, it always usually comes down to a possession. It's a close-scoring game. The Steelers have the best special teams unit, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL. So those things are very, very important to why I believe when you look at all three teams, any given Sunday in playoff football, the Steelers can come out on top.
I want to ask you kind of a weird question because nobody's talking about them. I think the Rams are dangerous. And they a team right now that nobody's discussing. Tell me your thoughts on this Rams team, man.
No question. No question. When the Rams were down bad in early October, I said, I can care less. I still believe in the Rams. And the reason why is because they have the best coach in the NFC, in my opinion. I think Sean McVay is the best coach in the NFC. I understand Dan Campbell's done a phenomenal job. You know, Kevin O'Connell. I'm still taking Sean McVay because he can do more with less. And to your point, they're finally healthy.
Yeah.
They are finally healthy. Think about this. Of course, with their offense, you know, Matthew Stafford continues to impress us. But then let's look at the young studs on the defensive side. I don't know if there's been an organization in the National Football League that have been able to draft young guys in and instantly get their best and be able to do so for the length of the entire football season. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Bryan Young. I mean, you got so many young guns, young studs on their defense that is playing highlight football. And to your point, their division is still wide open because, yes, Seattle is 8-5 right now. Seattle got Green Bay coming to town,
right,
and they still have to play the Rams to finish off. The Rams is a very, very scary team because of how good they're coached and their preparation. So to your point, no question, if they can get into the playoffs, you remember last year now, they got into the playoffs and it was a one-possession loss to Detroit on the road. Mm. So if they can get into the playoffs, they're not afraid. They can really cause some damage.
All right, big man. We'll talk more about the Falcons next week. Hopefully we're talking about a dub. The Raiders, by the way, the third most points given up in the NFL. They average just a tick under 28 points a game.
Can we score?
Carl, you say you hope we talk about a dub. You bet. We better.
I know.
We better.
I'm with you. B, thank you so much, man. Follow him and have a great week, man.
Thank you.
Bryant McFadden. Coming up, yeah, man, no man's on the way. Also, we will talk more about the Dogs as they get ready and prep for the college football playoff. That is on the way at 4 o'clock. And the Hawks in action tonight. We'll dive deeper into that as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Bryant McFadden for stopping by, chopping it up with your boys, Dukes and Bell, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk some Dogs coming up in less than 15 minutes. And how do they prepare for two different teams, not knowing which way this can go, right? We want to think it's going to be Notre Dame. And by the way, it'd be great. I think the College Football Playoff Committee is probably hoping it's Notre Dame.
Right.
But we don't know. Indiana could upset them, guys. And that's
Cinderella story. The Hoosiers scored a lot of points against nobody.
That's why they're going to play this game. But it's difficult to get ready for both of them. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, some more Kirby as he talks about his team. Portal, man, it's crazy. And we'll get you caught up on a couple of other stories. Speaking of college football, Bill Belichick. Rumors out there that they are close to a deal and that it may happen as soon as today. There were earlier reports today that it was a done deal, but as Adam Schefter was reporting, there's still a couple of hangups, so we'll get you caught up on that. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on, man? How are you today?
I'm good, and I think we've done a pretty good job this season, especially because they've been so irrelevant, of not getting too bogged down by Aaron Rodgers and his crap.
Mm.
But this one piece of audio from the McAfee Show this week did catch my ear because he was going off on the hot take culture and saying that sports media has become a poisonous rat trap for society.
These experts on TV who nobody remembers what they did in their career, so in order for them to stay relevant, they have to make comments that keep them in the conversation. That wasn't going on in 2008, 2009. That was non-existent. You know, the Sports Center of my youth, you know, those guys made the highlights so much fun, and that's what they showed on Sports Center. Now it's all talk shows and people whose opinions are so important now, and they believe they're the celebrities now, they're the stars for just being able to talk about sports or give a take about sports, many of which are unfounded or asinine.
So Dan Orlovsky's opinion apparently doesn't count, Carl, to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think, Mike, this is him, you know, taking a shot at some of these guys. And look, I get it with where things have gone, but shows and things of that nature evolve. It is ESPN. It's entertainment, whether you like it or not. And I do think, you know, listen, do Mike and I clamor for the days of when SportsCenter, there was something special about it. And I'm not saying that the people who are on it now are not talented. They are. But there was something about the Dan Patricks, God rest his soul, Stu, the guys that you, when you watched it, Mike, it was like, man, I cannot miss that 11 o'clock Sports Center.
Right. I mean, it was, yes, kids, it just was better. It was clever. I'm a big fan of Kenny Mayne. You know, I used to love Dan Patrick breaking Overman's chops. I mean, it was, and you mentioned Stuart Scott and Rich Eisen and all those guys. It was just, you know, it's Linda Cohen's still there. I mean, but you're right. It's just a different time. You almost wish there'd be a channel for just give me the highlights. And I know you see that on ESPN News and put all the, you know, I can't watch a lot of that. I like to agree with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, and you don't have to have success in a sport to have an opinion on it, because that means that then no women can have an opinion, because obviously no women has played in the NFL, and that's not right. Aaron don't die on that hill. But I mean, there's a lot of folks that are talented who didn't play the game. Hell, last time I checked, all the most successful syndicated radio hosts, with the exception of Pat McAfee, who's a punter, didn't play in the NFL.
Mm.
You know, so with all due respect, Aaron Rodgers, if Dan Orlovsky or whoever's breaking down film and showing that you're not doing things or have an opinion about how you lead a team, it's a free country, baby, just like you're entitled to all your crackpot opinions.
Yeah, get back in that dark room, will you?
Well, I think for the first time in his career, he's finally starting to see what it's like when you're not the MVP of the league.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. Exactly. You got to go in there.
He's coming back, boys.
What do you mean?
Al Michaels, soon to be 81 years old,
wow,
said he will return to Amazon in 2025.
Get him a better partner! Get rid of Herb Street! Get him. Go put. Get some of the guys from the show that is on at halftime and get before. Get Richard Sherman in there with him. Get Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. Let him bounce off of some guys. Some guys bounce things off of him and have some fun instead of Herb Street. Just basically sounded like cardboard. That doesn't make a sound, but you get the idea.
Is it time? Is it time?
I love Al Michaels, and I understand the younger audience feels that he's just not bringing anything. But I think. I don't think Herb Street helps him. I think you got to have a partner to engage him because he's a brilliant guy and he's witty and he's a wise ass. And all Herb Street does is just, you know, it's kind of by the numbers, man.
It's starch. Okay. It's just very starch.
Yeah, look, I cannot. Look, Mike and I have had this discussion. And right. You know, for Herb Street, this is called maximizing
right.
The guy you're paying a lot of money to. That's why he's on everything that for them. All right, that's fine. But I'm just asking, Mike, like, and I hate this whole age thing because I honestly wish everybody could do whatever it is they love until they die.
Right.
But you can't. Every company at some point comes to you and says, well, you know, Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just saying, Al Michaels is 81. He's doing it because he still can, but is he great at it? Bob Costas just walked away because he said, the hubris of Bob Costas. But he said, I can't be great at doing what I used to do.
Right.
81?
I think Costas, I know we're getting on a tangent about announcers. I think Costas didn't really like the heat he got this year from his postseason work. I think he took his ball and went home. I think that, speaking of ego.
But was he good? I don't think Costas was good this year.
No, he's lost his fast. Like, I think most of us of a certain age loved Keith Jackson. And Keith Jackson went to ABC and says, guys, I can't do it anymore. And they would come to him and say, no, we're bringing you out one more time. Bring you back for the Rose Bowl. A couple of games.
It's true.
He just wanted to be up in Washington State fishing.
Mike,
you know, but they'd bring him back. Well, and he even admitted he wasn't that as good.
But you know what this is? This is like the local stations that bring back the weather guy, right? That's famous and has been there for years for sweeps, right? And you're like, how old is this guy? Like, you're not watching it for him anymore, but everybody knows who he is.
Right. Now, look,
I just think at some point you have to say, I love Al Michaels, and I agree with you. He's one of, if not the greatest, to ever do it. But 81, if you're not going to be what I used to think you were once were, it's time to step away.
And I've heard the criticisms of the guy, and you know, it's one of those dudes that Carl just touched on it. I just felt that there's times this year where he does seem disinterested or just kind of just like it's just there. You know, because in the past he'd be involved with every aspect. There's a dramatic shot of the Statue of Liberty, he'd say something. I was like, you know, New York Harbor. You know, thanks, Al. You know, it's like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and
Mike.
So and I just but my and the only I guess it's a slim argument.
And
but
are
just,
you saying Herb Street is the would bring
no,
the,
I just
the,
think,
the replacement
I just,
would bring him out of that?
I think if you put some life into the broadcast, it would maybe it creates a spark that doesn't exist with Herb Street, because Herb Street is mayonnaise on white bread.
Okay, that may be true, but let me say this. They need to put some adrenaline in Al Michaels too. And it's hard when you're 81. Do you guys have parents or grandparents that are 81 years old? How the hell do they act around the house?
Right. And that's the thing. And plus, you know, Al did say, I mean, some of these games have been crap. You know, Amazon, Bezos went to the NFL and said, can you give me some stuff to watch? And the games have been a lot better this year. But you're right. Al's lost his fastball. I'll admit it, but I would still like to see a better broadcast. I love what you're getting from Fitzpatrick. I don't know if you guys watch the Amazon stuff.
I do, too.
I mean, Tony Gonzalez is just cashing a check.
You're talking about the desk?
Pre and post and halftime.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and who's the retired Rams offensive lineman?
Andrew Whitworth
is fun.
Great.
Yeah, there's some good dudes. But, you know, you don't need five guys of anything. But I like Richard. Let Richard Sherman get in there and talk crazy with Fitzpatrick and let Al rein him in.
No, I think it's a good idea.
Might come to blows.
Speaking of replacements, real quick before we catch a break here, the Dallas Cowboys apparently are targeting their guy if they actually do decide to move on from Mike McCarthy, and that is Mike Vrabel. Apparently, Vrabel, according to ESPN, is high on their priority list if they decide to let Mike McCarthy go. I think he's the best coach out there right now, not named Bill Belichick, if he's going to college or not. Yeah, man, no man, you like that fit.
Carl, you know Vrabel longer than I did. We haven't had a chance to spend time with him. I just can't see him putting up with Jerry's nonsense and all the soap opera that comes in Dallas.
So he got screwed, full disclosure, at the end of his tenure in Tennessee. Part of it was the ownership group wanted to play Will Levis because they drafted him. They were not seeing eye to eye. And basically, here was a guy. Remember how good Tennessee was. We forget. I mean, we went and hired Arthur Smith because of their success.
Right.
That was a team that was vying for the playoffs and a chance at the Super Bowl. Vrabel had a tough physical team, Mike, that they developed. He drafted. They drafted well. They had a new general manager. And basically, Vrabel was like, cool, I'm out. I'm with you, Chris. I think he's a great candidate. But if you're only going to let him be himself, Mike is right. Is he going to try to bring in the discipline and the culture of that football team with the Cowboys if he is the guy? And then Jerry sitting in the background, not allowing him to do it. It's just disruptive.
I mean, you got to fix Dak. I mean, once Dak gets done with this injury thing, what's keeping you? And again, the money, they got a lot of issues there. You already talked about three big stars and how do you make that work under the cap.
Tough.
But you got to find somebody who gets Dak right when it matters most, and that's something McCarthy couldn't do.
All right, boys, we got to run. Hit my music.
Good stuff, Turtle. Yeah. To be honest with you, I wasn't surprised Belichick didn't get hired. I know many of you are. I wasn't. I was surprised Vrabel didn't get a job. Mm. I really was.
But again, you know, is Vrabel too mean for some of these some of these candy arses that are running football teams these days?
Because
Vrabel's old school.
Yes, he is. And sometimes you need that. Maybe that's what Jerry needs. I don't know. Coming up, dog reports on the way. Also, how do the Hawks stack up against the Knicks? 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors.